Welcome. We have Karen Beadle in the studio. Karen is the co-coordinator of the Capital District Border Watch, and we're really happy to have you in the studio today to tell us several of the events that your organization is working on.
Great. It's great to be here.
It's going to be a busy month, but before we hear about those events, could you tell us a little bit about the Capital District Border Watch, the history of the organization, and your role as the co-coordinator?
Okay, yeah. Capital District Border Watch came together in February of 2019, and we came together out of organizing that was happening around the family detentions, really beginning a year earlier in May when Trump began officially separating families at the border, and there was a lot of activism and clarity about the need to stop that. And that organizing wasn't happening on an ad hoc basis, and we decided to really gather together. And Capital District Border Watch included me and Carrie Keel, who was running a small Amnesty International chapter. So Carrie and I decided to get this organization off the ground, and she and I are working on it together.
That's wonderful. And I'm sure everybody who's listening would like to know the events that you've been planning for this upcoming month. The first one is called Witness at Tornillo, and it is happening Tuesday, November 12th at 7:30 p.m. at Landmark Spectrum 8 Theater. Could you tell us, what is that film?
Great. So Witness at Tornillo follows Josh Rubin, who was one of the people who decided that he was going to create a personal witness at the Tornillo facility, which was housing children who were being detained. And he went from his presence at Tornillo to Homestead and maintained a presence there. And he was very committed to the idea that these children should not feel alone, that we were not able to end detention yet in the U.S. in terms of migrant children, young children being detained in prison-like conditions. But he wanted to hold up hearts on stepladders and wave at the children every chance he could, so that there was an ongoing sense that there was an alternative presence here. There were people in the United States who were opposing these policies, and they were going to remain present and committed to making sure these children knew they weren't alone. And so this is a documentary describing his journey to that witness that went on for many months for him. We're holding it at the Spectrum Landmark Theater. That's November 12th, Tuesday. And we are selling tickets to that. We have 23 tickets left as we speak. So we've had an amazing, amazing response to this.
And I think it's especially important that this is a person who was from New York, like us, in
yep.
this listening audience, who felt compelled to go to Texas
right.
to do something about
right.
it.
Yeah.
Is that how the people in the Capital District Border Watch feel, that they just need to do something?
Well, I think our big commitment was that the border isn't over 1,000 miles away. The border exists right here in the community. In the ethical stance that our government has taken means that as people of conscience, we're all responsible for what's happening at the border. We have undocumented families living here in the Capital Region, living in fear. The ICE policies have caused huge rapids throughout the country. And one of the first things that we did as Capital District Border Watch is we actually made a border fence out of chicken wire, and we take it to all our demonstrations, and we have blown up photos of children and statements by children in detention. So we want to make this border fence visible in the Capital Region so that people can't look away from what's happening.
Really important strategy that gives us a kind of empathetic response to what's happening. And the next event that the Capital District Border Watch is sponsoring is Nowhere to Go, Barriers to Asylum and the Refugee Crisis in Mexico, which is a community forum to learn more about the rapidly changing asylum and humanitarian crisis on the southern border and inside Mexico. Could you share with us this upcoming community forum?
What's really important to know is a few months ago, we were seeing a lot of people, pictures of people in detention being held under a bridge in El Paso, Texas. Some of the first statements of children were released talking about not being able to feel their hearts. So we were getting a lot of pictures, a lot of visibility about what happened at the border. And so Trump's goal is to really enact a policy that's aimed at really destroying the legal rights of people seeking asylum. And so he's looking to end asylum as a concept, really. And so when we talk about challenging these policies, we're challenging this denial of the right to be a seeker of asylum, right? So these are people who are fleeing dangerous conditions, who need to be able to come to a safe haven, right? And so what's really important for people to understand right now is these detention camps in the U.S. are not filling up right now because the Remain in Mexico policy, the first policy that he enacted that made people wait in Mexico and put their names in this book to be on this trickle-in process into the United States, was already leaving people in tent-like facilities in Matamoros, in Ciudad Juarez, in Tijuana, in places that were really not very safe to be. So that got exacerbated when the Supreme Court upheld Trump's policy to not let refugees from the Northern Triangle into the United States, because he was claiming that they could apply for asylum in the countries en route. And he got Guatemala to agree that it was a safe country for refugees from further south to be applying for asylum in. So now nobody from Honduras, from El Salvador, from Guatemala can apply for asylum in the United States unless they have applied in one of these quote unquote safe third countries and been denied asylum. So right now there are 40 to 50,000 people backed up at the border who have nowhere to go. There's no process by which they can apply for asylum. They've basically been denied the right to apply for asylum. And so as people are trying to figure out what to do about these policies, we're not any longer really drawing attention to detention facilities in the U.S. We're drawing attention to the fact that there are 40 to 50,000 people in very, very dangerous conditions at the border. So the two threads that we really want the community to understand is to really look at what's happened to asylum. So we have Sarah Rogerson, the director of the Immigration Law Clinic at Albany Law School, and she's keeping a very up-to-date sense of what's happening through the caseload at the law school, and also by looking at the policies and how these things are moving through the courts right now. So Sarah's going to come and give us an up-to-date sense of what's happening in the legal system around asylum. And we just got word this week that Ashoka Mokpo, who's a staff reporter for the ACLU, who recently went down and interviewed asylum seekers in Matamoros in Ciudad Juarez, is going to come up from New York and really talk about what conditions people are facing, what is the gang activity and the human trafficking and the hardships, the specific hardships that people at the border are facing. And the idea behind this is to bring together people from the capital region to have a conversation about what do we do now.
Thank you. And the third event that you're doing this month is the Infiltrators, which is on December 4th. And could you just give us a snapshot of that? And we will invite you back to talk more intensely about how you're organizing the community for that event.
Great. We're really looking forward to collaborating with the Sanctuary for Independent Media on The Infiltrators. It's a fantastic film about the empowerment of young undocumented dreamers.
Thank you so much, Karen Beadle, for all the work you're doing with Capital District Border Watch and the many other networks that you're activating to help in this community.
Thanks, Brenda.